Daf Lamed Zayin. Today's learning is sponsored by the Felder family in honor of parents, children, and grandchildren. So we got pretty deep into this next daf. We're around 10 lines down. We're talking about the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that he required that the Yischach be made only of the Dalet Minim. So the Gemara now challenges this assumption. The Gemara says, "Mi Amar Rabbi Yehuda arbas minim in mi de'achvini lo." Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda only allows you to use a dalet minim for the schach, but no other material? But we have brayser that seems to indicate otherwise. V'atani, the brayser says, "Sicha benisarim shel erez." If you make a schach out of boards of cedar wood, which is certainly not one of the dalet minim, sheish ben dalet tfachim. If there are dalet tfachim, why? That's how wide the boards are. Divrei kol psul. Everybody agrees it's possible. However, ein behem dal tvachim, if it's less than dal tvachim, this is a machlokas. Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir, Rabbi Yehuda allowed a board less than 4 tvachim as schach. Umod Rabbi Yehuda, umod Rabbi Meir, shemiyesh bein neser leneser, kemali neser, shemiyach pesel beinem ukshera. And Rabbi Meir agrees that if you have a space the size of the board and you fill those spaces with pesel, which is the psolus, which is kasher schach, that would be good even according to Rabbi Meir. Either way, our focus isn't so much on how much space. Really, we see that you're allowed to use boards of cedar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's not one of the dalet minim. So Gemara says, "My erez." What is it says erez here? What type of erez? What type of cedar is it referring to? Erez hadas. Kedirabba bar Rav Huna. We think that erez is one type of species of trees. There's erez, but the Gemara says not true. There really are. Dama Rabba bar Rav Huna. Amri beirav. Asara mine arazenhein. There are 10 different species of erez. Shenemar says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, etain by midbar erez shita v'hadas. It goes on. I'll quote the whole pasuk. V'et shemen osim v'arava kibrosh tidhar v'sa'asher yachtav. There are 10 different types. One of the types are hadasim. So therefore, hadasim aravos are both listed here. So when he says erez, doesn't mean erez that we know as cedar. It refers to one of the other trees that are acceptable, that are of the dalet minim. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, he remains consistent. Gemara now says halfway down the page here. Right, Meir Omer afilu b'meshicha. We had in the Mishnah that he allowed you to tie the eged using a thread, using a rope of some sort, and they brought a mice in Anshe Yishalayim that they'd actually use gold to wrap it around, and they said that's not a raya. They actually put a real eged of one of the dalet minim beneath that, and the gold was simply as an ornament. So Gemara quotes a pretty identical brayse to that of the Mishnah. It's unclear what the brayse is adding that the Mishnah did not teach us, but the brayse says, "Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir Maisa Bikire Yushalayim Shayu Ogdin Es Lulavehem Begimonos Shazov." So that the Chashiv, the great Talmid Chachamim of Yushalayim, would do this, would wrap it with gold. So according to the Kaplos Tumarim, that's the difference. In our Mishnah, it simply said that the Anshe Yushalayim. Here the brayse clarifies, no, the Kire Yushalayim. Okay. I'm not sure if there's a nafkamina of any sort, but that's a slightly different presentation than our Mishnah. And then the Brisa says further, Amulo Misham Raya, there's a Raya. Bimino Hayu Ogdenes Osan Milamata. No, that's not Raya. They didn't use the gold as the egged. They had an actual egged made of one of the dalet minim species. The egged of the gold was simply a hider mitzvah on top of that. So Kaplos Tamar makes another suggestion. Maybe what the difference of the Brisa here is versus the Mishnah. Because now the Brisa tells us that only a few individuals would wrap it in gold, we could still perhaps bring a raya, even though Yechidim are the ones doing so, since they were Yakira Yushalayim, we could bring a raya from them. And the Gemara rejects the raya, but at least in the world of Rabbi Meir, you could still bring a raya even though they are Yechidim. There are a few other answers what this Brisa, how it differs from the Mishnah, but that's the Gemara. So now the Gemara says further, Amar Elohu Rabba, Lahanu Megadlei Hoshana. So those people who would grow Hoshanas, the Bay Resh Galusa in the house of Resh Galusa, he warned them, Ki Galisa Hoshana, the Bay Resh Galusa, when you do grow and make these Hoshanas, Shiare Bay Basiad, you should leave apart a Basiad, a handle. We'll see Rashi to explain this in a second. Ki Hechi de Loteve Chatitza, so that there should not be a Chatitza. So take a look at Rashi, around halfway down the Amud, Shiare Bay Basiad, Mitachas Le'eged. Underneath the egg that you make, that little knot, make sure there's a handle. I mean, you can hold on to the actual lulav or hadas maravos. Shlo yikachenu b'mokum agdo. So you shouldn't have to grab onto it in the place of the egg. The kesavar ein ha'eged min ha'mitzvah. Because this understanding of a rabbah was the egged was in the mitzvah. It was really unnecessary. And therefore, krabanan, damri ein tarach egged. And because if it's not necessary, therefore it serves as a chatzitza, Rashi says. Tilo nevi chatzitza ben yad lo shana vein zulakicha. So he said, when you have that egged, make sure there's some of the branches hanging below it, so you hold on to the branches, not holding on to the egged, because the egged, since the egged really does not need to be there, it would be chatzitza between my hand and the dalet minim. So Gemara then says, in response to that, says the Gemara, Rav Amar, kol la'anoso ein chotzit. Even if you say that the egget isn't necessary, but the egget certainly makes it nice. It's a zek keli v'yamveh, it's a type of hiddur mitzvah. When it comes to hiddur mitzvah, kol la'anoso, that's not considered a chatita. Why not? So there's a machlokas, we show him why it's not considered a chatita. Some say because since it's a it's batal to the mitzvah, the mitzvah is the ikr, it's completely batal, and we don't view it as being any part of the mitzvah. Or, since it's a hiddur mitzvah, it's considered tzorech mitzvah, it's a chelik of the mitzvah itself. So there's two opposite ways to understand the this egget. Either it's batal entirely, we don't view it as being there, or it's an extension somehow, it's a hiddur of the mitzvah, it becomes part of the mitzvah itself. So now, there's an interesting discussion brought down by the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, based on this Gemara here, because even if I held on to the egget seemingly was just like a little thread there. So if I hold on to part of it, the other part of my hand is touching the dalminim. Okay, my whole hand isn't grabbing onto the dalminim, but part of it will be touching the dalminim, and yet we still see it's a chatitza. So the Sefer Aguda, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says, you're allowed to wear rings in your hands, or tefillin even, to hold the dalminim. That's not a chatitza, since part of my hand is touching it, even though part of it is not. So it asks the Kapha Smarm, but this Gemara clearly says it is a problem if my hand isn't entirely grabbing onto it. How could you reconcile this Gemara and the Shita of the Aguda? So the Magen Avraham says that the only time it's a chatita is either if my entire hand is covered in a glove, let's say, or the entire lulav is that I'm holding onto, or even if part of the lulav is blocked. But if part of my hand is blocked, that's actually okay. So the egg get around the lulav, when I grab onto it, I can't hold on to the total lulav, that's a problem. But if it's on my ring, on my hand rather, my finger, that would become batal to my hand, and that would actually be acceptable. That's the chiddush of the Magen Avraham. The Ramah brings down the sheet of those who are machmir, that they remove rings before they shake the lulav, or the tefillin before they shake the lulav. But the Ramah says it's really unnecessary chumrah, you don't have to do so, because the Divrei Aguda says it's not considered kisoy, it's not considered a chatita, if only part of my hand is blocked. Now the Mishnah, what? That would certainly be a problem. That's a chatitza. The whole hand is blocked. If part of it's blocked...
Would anyone say it's blocked with your
hand? No. Then Mishavura brings down there, even though the Ramah allows one to wear rings and tefillin on the hand, he brings down many poskim, the Taz, the Gur, and the Bach, that all argue and say that one should remove the rings and tefillin from the hand. So therefore, if one did say the bracha and shook the lulav with a ring or a tefillin, they should take off the ring and shake it a second time, not with a bracha, because it's something brachas lahakel, but he certainly should shake it yet a second time. Gemara now says, Vayter. The Gemara says, that's all the Shita of, again, we did both Shita Rabba and Rava. So now, Amar Rabba again. Lo linkot inish hoshana bisudra dibainan lekichatama boleka. A person should not take some type of handkerchief and hold it that way. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, it's kind of like a glove. Rashi says, lo linkot inish hoshana bisudra kishinola latesbo. When you grab the dal minim to be yotze, lo yichroch sudar shebein kseifava ayado, that used to have like a handkerchief or a scarf around their necks between their shoulders of some sort, don't put this on your hand, v'yechos ba'alulava, because that's going to be a chatita. That's like a glove. And Rava Amar again, Rava says, Amar lakicha ayide davar acher shmalakicha. He's not concerned with a chatita issue. He thinks you actually can take something, even though it's indirect. That's still considered a lakicha. He doesn't require chatita. That's my hand doesn't need to touch it. Chatita applies to when you need to go to the mikvah. You have to have your whole entire body immersed. That's issues of chatita. There's no inin of the chatita between me and then the lulav. The question is a mais lakicha. It says lakachta lachem. Is that called me taking it or not taking it? Not because of chatita, because of mais lakicha. And he does think, and we'll see in a second how he knows this, you can have a mais lakicha even though it's touching something else, a davar acher. That's called a ma'is lakicha. How does he know this is a ma'is lakicha? So I'm a rabba, mina aminala, what's my source to lakicha? Ayide davar acher. Grabbing something, taking something through another medium is shma lakicha. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Para. Ezov katzar, let's say you have the hyssop. You need to dip the hyssop in the water that was mixed, the mayim chayim mixed with the afer. You dip it in, and then you have to sprinkle it, shake it onto the person or the item that you're being metahir from a tumas meis. So let's say the ezov is a little bit short. I can't reach. So ezov katzar, misafko b'chut. You're able to extend it with a chut or b'kavah, some type of thread. You can extend it, put a little rope, so you can now lower the hyssop into the water, even though I'm not taking it directly. And tovel, you dip it into the water. Umala, then you bring it up. Then at that point, you have to be oches be'ezov. Then you have to directly grab onto the hyssop and mazah, and then sprinkle it. So asks Gemara, how could you dip in the ezov in the first place, not holding on to the ezov? How could you use a little thread at the end? The velokach v'tovel amrachman. The Torah says you must grab it, you must take it and dip it. The fact that we allow this, Ella lav shma mina lekicha ayde davar acher shma lekicha. That's still called a lekicha, even though I'm not directly touching it, I'm not directly holding it, I'm holding on to the extension, that would be allowed. Now, before you go to the rejection, how come by the sprinkling you have to directly hold on to it? When it came to the dipping in, it was enough to do ayde davar acher. Why not when the sprinkling? So you need to look at Rashi, the last three narrow lines in Rashi. Rashi says, Ela shma mina, shma lekicha, umiu. Nevertheless, when it came to kishumaze, when you're sprinkling the water onto the person or to the item, tzarach lechos be'ezav, you have to hold directly onto the ezav. Ayde deracher doesn't work. Mipneshim ochso b'sipukov, you hold on to the extension, who minanea kan v'kan, veino mechavin umaze al kli. Imagine you hold on to the rope, and you start whipping around the ezav, it's not going to be very accurate. So it's for practical reasons, that's all. But in terms of the ma'is lekicha, ayidei davar acher, that it works, but just it's not very sensible to do that. Start whipping around all through a thread. You're not going to hit the spot that you need. So either way, that's the initial raya that Rava brings from the Mishnah Maseches Parah. So Gemara now rejects this and says, Mimai, how do you know? Dilma shiny has, maybe there's different, kevin dechavre kegufay dami. Since you had attached it to the ezov, it becomes part of the ezov itself. But maybe by the lulav, we're not really attaching it. Granted, you might be wrapping around your hand. That's not called attached. It's around your hand. So maybe had you attached it around the lulav, maybe that would be good. But right now, the understanding is you attached it securely to the ezov. That's good. Here, I just put it around my hand. It wasn't attached. That's not good. So that's not the raya. So Ella, what's the raya? Mehacha. Another case when it came to the din of paraduma. Nafo mishfel feres l'shukas pasol. The din is that if you used to, they had the ashes of the paraduma, they burnt the paraduma. It was in this shvelferis, this type of a tube, and then you'd pour it into the shukas, into the another type of pitcher with water. So the din is you have to place the afer into the bucket of water with kavanah. If it did not have any kavanah, it's pasal, it doesn't work. So now, the Gemara says, if it fell, nafal mishvelferis l'shukas, it's pasal, because you didn't have kavanah, it fell in. But now the Gemara's medayik now onto Amud Beis, ha-hipiluhu kasher. But if you pushed it from the pitcher of ashes into the pitcher of water, that would be good. Ah, but it doesn't say I took it. If I just tilted the pitcher. But doesn't the pasuk say, am I? Don't I have to take the ashes with my hand and put it directly into the water? How could he peel? How can he tipping over the bucket of ashes? How come that's enough? There's no lekicha there. Elalav shma mina lekicha. Ide davar acher shma lekicha. Taking something even indirectly would actually suffice, just like by the ashes. I could take the bucket, even though I'm not actually taking the ashes. That works here too by lulav as well. That would be the same exact din. So now the Gemara says further on these same discussions. Rabbah keeps giving a number of different pieces of advice related to hadasim, aravos, and so on. So Rabbah says another piece of advice, three lines down, and usually a halachic advice. Vama Rabbah, lo lodutz inish lulave boshana. A person should not jam in the lulav after he made the egid. Look at Rashi. Lo lidotz inosh lulavai boshana la'acha she'egid harava v'adas yachid. After you tied everything together, lo yitchov halulav milamala b'socha egid. Don't try to jam in the lulav from the top into the tight knot. Why not? Says Rashi. Says the Gemara first. Didilma nisrei tarfei. Perhaps some of the leaves of Hadassim and Revels will fall off. Vavi chatzitza, that's going to be a chatzitza. Because when you dram it in back and forth, we know from our own lulav, and when you take the Hadassim and Revels out of the knots, so oftentimes you have some of the leaves of Revels that are stuck in between. So now you have between the lulav and the Hadassim some loose pieces of leaf, that's going to be a chatzitza. It's not part of the mitzvah anymore, now that they've fallen off. So Rava says back to Rabbah, that's not a problem. Rava Amar, min b'mino inachotit. This is part of a larger discussion by chatitza, but the same type of min is not a chatitza. If you had a thread in there or something that was foreign, that's a chatitza. But to have the leaves of the Ravos themselves, to have the leaves of the Hadassim themselves, that is not considered a chatitza. Min b'mino inachotit, and that's how we paskin. We're not concerned with that. Now Rabbah comes along and has another statement about this. Vama Rabbah, lo ligaz inish lulave boshana, the mishtayer hotza hutzav halichatitza. Here, let's say you have a very long lulav. It's not really shaykh for us, but the lulavim can be very, very long. So you have the eged, the lulav inside, with the aravos hadasim. You say, no, this is too long. Let me cut the bottom of the lulav to make it shorter. That's fine. Now, when you cut the bottom of the lulav, some of the leaves on the outside are now going to be detached. And now they're going to remain in the eged, not part of the mitzvah anymore, and they're going to be loose leaves. And that's going to be the same problem of chatzitza, like Rabbi said, with respect to the leaves of Hadassim and Rabbos. This is now a problem with the leaves of the lulav. And again, same response. Rabbi is not concerned with this. Rabbi Amar, a min bamino in a chote, since it's the same type, it's the same min, it's a lulava, there is no concern of a chatzitza. Now another statement. Amar Rabba, hadas shel mitzvah, aser larech bo, esrog shel mitzvah, motel larech bo. Are you allowed to smell the hadasim esrogim on sukkis? So he says you cannot smell hadasim on sukkis, but you can smell the esrog. Why not? What's the difference? My time hadas, de larecha kai, ki akse merecha aksia. So the whole purpose, the whole essence of hadasim in general is to smell. They have a nice smell to that. That's the only function. You can't eat hadasim. All you could use them for is smell. We have throughout the Gemara, hadasim is the prototype of that which you smell. They had hadasim at chasnas used to smell hadasim. All over hadasim is always to smell. So since the purpose is to smell them, when it was set aside as a mitzvah, it was a mitzvah for its ikar purpose in terms of smelling. So for me to smell hadasim, that's a violation of muksa machmas mitzvah. It's designated for muksa for mitzvah, and there's an issue of iser muksa to benefit from that element of the hadasim as opposed to the esrog. The esrog's primary purpose is to be eaten. Yes, it smells as well, like all fruits smell, but the purpose is to eat it, and therefore, when it was set aside as a mitzvah, it's mitzvah machmas muksa only with respect to the eating, not with respect to the smelling. That's the din. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi writes, asur la'riach bo, you can't smell the hadasim. Who says it's muksa machmas mitzvah when it comes to the dalminim? So Rashi tells us, the garminim misukkah, we learn from sukkah, the alfinim beperakama, the chal shem shemaim al ate sukkah, le'asur bahana kol shiva ho v'huksa l'mitzvah. This is one of the main sources of muksa machmas mitzvah, learned out from sukkah. Sukkah is the source that davar mitzvah is a muksa. So just like by sukkah, so too by dalminim, so too by all mitzvahs for that matter. Happens to be these two are, of course, the same time of year, but still that's the basis. Now, Vayitin the Gemara. Gemara says further, yet another statement from Rabbah. We have two more statements to the Mishnah, all from Rabbah again. Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says, Hadas b'mechubar mutal ha'riachba. If you have hadasim, you have hadasim attached to the ground, and I'll add, or flowers attached to the ground, you're allowed to smell them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's no concern here. As opposed to the esrog, b'mechubar asal ha'riachba. But if an esrog is attached to the tree, you cannot smell this on Shabbos or Yom Tov. What's the difference? My time, hadas dilahariach kai, since the whole purpose of hadasim is to smell, isharis la, if you permit one to smell on Shabbos, lo asi lemigze, no one's going to go ahead and cut it off. Why not? Because if you cut it off, it's going to die. It won't smell as much anymore. You're not involved in the eating of it. The purpose is to smell, and remaining in the ground will still smell just fine. But in esog, which purpose is dila achilakai, the whole purpose of esog is to eat it, we're concerned, isharisla, if you're allowed to smell the esog tree, you might say, wow, this smells delicious. Maybe also the migza, I'm going to remove it from the tree and eat it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and that'll be a violation of a kotzer on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So Gemara says one final statement in the name of Rabbah. Amar Rabbah, lulav biyamin v'esog bismol. How should a person hold the dalminim? So he says a person should hold the dalminim, lulav, along with the hadasim rabos in the right hand, and the esog should be held in the left hand. My time, and what's the reason? Honey tlasa mitzvos v'hai chada mitzvah. Because whichever one is more ikar, we always know goes in the right hand. So since the three mitzvahs are attached to each other, a rava, hadasim, a lulav, that should go in the right hand, the stronger hand, and the one singular mitzvah of the esog should go in the left hand. So Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zreika, my tam lo mevarchinan ela al netiyas lulav. What's the reason why you say the bracha on netiyas lulav? Why not on the esa? Why not on the ravos hadasim? Ho the gavo mikulam, because it's the highest one of all them. So that shows a certain prominence to it and certain significance to it. So we say the bracha on that which is taller. So Gemara says, "Ulikbe leesog livrich." Gemara seems to assume that the esrog might be more chashiv. We know the Medrash tells us that the esrog represents the tzaddik, so one would imagine the esrog is more chashiv. So why not hold the esrog high up above the lulav and say bracha on the esrog? Gemara says, "We're not talking about which one is being held higher. We're talking about amrlei hol uvimino gavo mikulam. That which the way it grows, it's tall. Esrog is very small. Lulav grows very tall. Hold the esrog as high as you want. That's not going to work. We're talking about which species is taller by nature than the other one, and for that reason, we say the bracha on the lulav, but not on the other dalminim. Now, based on what you just saw before, that you're allowed to smell hadasim on Shabbos and on Sukkot, you can't smell hadasim, but you can smell the esog. So the Mordechai says, so just like we are allowed to smell the esog, even though it's muksa machmas mitzvah, he says you are also allowed to smell anything that's aser b'hana. You're allowed to smell as well. That's not a violation. He said, because there's no isser of reach, just like you could smell the esog, even though it's muksa machmas mitzvah, you could also smell other things that are in general aser b'hana. It's a strange raya because the Shach says there's a huge difference between the two different cases. Here, they're talking about the Muksa Machmetz Mitzvah, that was only designated for its main purpose, the Esog for the purpose of Achila. But that which is Asur Bana, which has an intrinsic Isser to this, you can't bring me a raya from Muksa Machmetz Mitzvah to Esog. There's no intrinsic Isser to Esog being Muksa. That's a Isser Midir Bana of some sort. But by Avodah Zarah, or whatever the case might be, there's an intrinsic Isser, and to allow one to get Hana by smelling it, that seems to be very difficult. And there's also a discussion in general whether Isser Hana applies to Reach by Me'ila, but that becomes an interesting discussion based on the Mordechai and the Shach. Okay, let's finish this next mission now. We're going quickly today. The Mishnah tells us as follows. V'heichan hayu menanin, what point in davening does one shake the dalaminim? Behodu l'Hashem t'chila v'sof, for the beginning of hodu, and the end. Rashi explains here, t'chila v'sof means hodu shebetchilas haperek, v'hodu shebesof haperek v'sof ha'halel. Hodu l'Hashem kitav kilim chasdo, we say it twice. In the halal, once at the beginning, once at the end. Min hodu ad sof halal chada parshasa b'minin parshios shall say for tim. Fine, that's all one parak. So that's where you shake it according to this Tanakama. Uba'ona Hashem hoshiana divrei beis hillel. Ubeishamay omrim af ba'ona Hashem hatzlichana. Those two spots according to Beishamay. Beis hillel says on Hashem. Beishamay says also on Hashem hatzlichana. Amr Rabbi Kiva, Tzofa Yisubi, Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Shul, Shekol Am, Hayu Menanin, Etzelulavehem. I once observed Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Shul were davening in a minyan, and everyone, the entire tiber, shook at their lulavim. Vehem lo nanu elabana Hashem Hashiana. They only shook at that spot. They did not shake it at Anu Hashem Atzlichana. So seemingly that's how we paskin. That is how we paskin. So Gemara then says, Nanua, man dachashme, where in the world did that come from? Who even discussed anything about Nanuim? First tell us that we have to do Nanuim before telling us when. Same question, the first Mishnah, first Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, when do you say Shema? What is Shema before you tell me when to say it? When do you shake Nanunim? What are Nanuim? Whoever mentioned Nanuim? And the Gemara says it goes back to the very first Mishnah of the Perek here. There we said, Hasim Kai is referring to there, that Kol Lulav Shiesh Bo Shlosha Tvachim Kedei L'Raneh Bo Kasher. So you have to have a Lulav that's three Tvachim high. We added a fourth Tvach in the Gemara, but 3/4 Tvachim high in order to be able to shake it. That's where we mentioned Nanuim, the Kamar Hechem Menanin. So now that we've established that there is a Nanuim, where exactly do you do these Nanuim? Fine. There's a big discussion. I didn't have it here in this Gemara, but I believe there's a discussion in the different Rishonim, the Tosos, and the Rav Yosef Engel also discuss this. What is the purpose of the Nanuim? Some say it's some type of Shevach. Again, I think Tosos says maybe a Shevach, like a part of the Tefillah. It's a Tefillah and praise to Hashem. And others say it's a type of Simcha, it's a celebration of coming victorious out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Lulav Dal Minim is there to celebrate our victory based on the Medrash, and you shake it as a form of Simcha, it's a type of dancing. Tosos actually quotes a Pasuk of a Remez for Nanuim. We say, that after we were judged in Rosh Hashanah Kippur, Az Yishbod Aretz, so then Az Yiranu, then we come and shake the Atzei Hayar, the trees of the forest, it's some type of Yiranu, some type of singing. So that would indicate it's a type of Simcha, while others say it's some type of Shevach, it's more of a praise, more of a Tefillah of some sort. So now the Gemara says further, we'll have to finish a little, I'm not sure we go the whole way here, my Misipta stops midway here, so whatever I get to, we get to, we'll finish the next, I guess, on our own on Shabbos. So Gemara now quotes a Mishnah, Tanan Hasim. The Mishnah, I believe it's a Maseches Menachos, right? The Mishnah says, Shtei Halechem v'shnei kivsei atzeres. Ketan, how does exactly a person do the Osa? How do you shake them? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains that the Ketan Osa, Osam, Shutarach la'anifam yachad chaim. You have to shake the Shtei Halechem on Shavuos and the Shtei kivsei atzeres while it's still alive. You must shake them together. How do you do this? Rashi quotes a pasuk, k'dechsiva, v'heinif ha'koin osam al ha'lechem. You're supposed to shake the sheep on top of the bread. Ashnei kvasim, ha'kvasim chayim. The sheep are still alive. U'miniach shtei alechem ashnei kvasim. You place the bread on top of the sheep. K'dechsiva alechem ha'bikurim tenufa al shnei kvasim. It's telling us that the bread goes atop the kvasim. V'yaf agav the reish of the kvar, even though the beginning of the pasuk mashma osam al ha'lechem. The implication is that the sheep go on the bread. The Gemara darshan that really the bread goes on top of the sheep. Either way, you have to shake the sheep, and if you shake the bread, Shavuos time for the carbon. So how do you do this exactly? Ketzad hu osa. So Gemara explains, Meniach shtei alechem al gavei shnei hakvasim, u'meniach yadeya yado tachtein, you place your hand beneath them, u'menif, you wave it, u'molich, u'mevi, ma'ala morid. You wave it right and left, you bring it up and down, you go back and forth, all the different directions. Shenemar tez nepasik asher hunaf v'asher huram. Hunaf means to wave, huram means to raise. Rashid huram is mala, vein, sorry, hunaf is heinu molich mevi. Hunaf is back and forth. Huram is mala, up and down. So you need to do both of them, back and forth and up and down, or forward and back and right and left. So how do you do this exactly? So the Gemara explains, Amar Yochanan Molich Umevi Lemisha Ha'arba Ruchos Shalom. You go all four directions, back and forth, front and back, right and left. A different mahalchim based on the dal minim, Ashkenaz versus Svard. But you do all four directions, front and back, right and left. That's what hanafa means. And then you do malu morid, up and down, lamisha vayim varetz shelo. That's how they would do this according to Rabbi Yochanan. But Marava in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, that means masu hachi, they taught as follows. Amr Rabbi Chama bar Ukva, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Molich Umevi. The reason why you do the back and forth kedei la'atzer ruchal zeraz, it's some type of form of keeping away the evil spirits, and your malu morid, you go up and down kedei la'atzer talalim rayim, to remove some type of bad doer, some type of bad other spirits. It's some type of protection, some type of defense about the various ruchos that are out there. So let's stop here. Let me quickly recap what we did today. We start talking about the Yehuda Shita of only dal minim can be used for the schach. We had the shaila, but the cedar tree can be used even according to him. And we said that was a cedar tree that was made from Hadassim Aravos. There are 10 types of Eretz trees. Then we spoke about the brice of the Yikir Yishlaim using the golden egged. Then we discussed, Rabba says you should make sure that you don't have any of the leaves, it should be handled beneath when holding a dal minim, so it's not a chatita. And Rabba says it's not a chatita because kola anosa, ain't a chotzeit. And then about lekicha latama, you're not allowed to wrap a handkerchief or glove around your hand, that's not called lekicha. Rabba says no, lekicha idar acher is called a lekicha. He brought a raya from the Gemara as a paraduma, the Mishnah paraduma, that you could take the pitcher of ashes and dip it in, even though you didn't take the ashes directly, that's still considered a lekicha. We discussed then the concern of the leaves of hadasim, or leaves of a lulav, being stuck in between, that's a chatitza for Rabba. Rabba says, min bemino, eino chotetz, you're allowed to smell the esok, because the ikka purpose is for eating, but you cannot smell hadasim on yantif, or chol moed even, because the ikka purpose of the mitzvah is for smelling purposes. On Shabbos Yantif, you could smell hadasim because you're not going to rip it off the tree, but you cannot smell esrogim on the tree because you might rip it off in order to eat it. Then about holding the three medium in your right hand because that's more mitzvahs, and the esrog in one hand, we say bracha on lula because that's the tallest of the medium. Then the Mishnah describes when we say the nanuim, or when we do the nanuim, hod Hashem and ana Hashem. And then the mission about the Maseches Menachah is about going back and forth and up and down with the purpose of order in order to protect from the various ruchos raos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.